It's been 2 years since Myanmar's military seized power. A civil war there has killed thousands of civilians and forced 1.2 million people from their homes. The conflict shows no sign of ending. NPR's Michael Sullivan has this story of a family of democracy activists whose struggle against the military has lasted for decades.
Democracy activists Nilar Tain and Chaw Mayu, known by his nickname, Code Jimmy, got to know each other in Tayawadi prison in the early 2000s. In between the beatings and other abuse at the hands of their military jailers, she says, they grew close, secretly passing notes to keep each other's spirits up. Released in 2005, they were married a year later and decided to have a baby soon after. From the jungle hideout that's now her temporary home, Nilar Tain remembers that time.
When I was pregnant, Code Jimmy would hold my stomach as we chanted Buddhist mantras of love to our daughter. But because of the political uncertainty, the turmoil in our country, we apologize to our daughter too for what might come in the future.
That's because the military was still firmly in control, and she and Code Jimmy could be arrested again at any time. And he was, in August 2007, at the time of the so-called Saffron Revolution against Myanmar's military rulers. So Nilar Tain and her infant daughter went into hiding.
We were hiding along with some student leaders at an apartment. When the authorities started searching nearby, the sound of the babies crying could get us all arrested. So I asked my daughter to be quiet while I breastfed her. She seemed to understand and was silent, and we managed to escape. But after that, I decided I had to give my daughter to her grandparents. It was too dangerous for her to be with me. And that decision hurt very much.
Not long after, Nilar Tain was arrested again as well. 5 years later, as the military gradually loosened its control over the country, both she and Code Jimmy were released again and reunited with their daughter.
When I first saw my daughter, I was very happy and wanted to hug her. But I didn't at first because I felt I had to approach her very slowly. Later, while she and I were waiting at the airport for Code Jimmy to return, she held my hand very tight, and she told me she was afraid I would disappear again. Then Code Jimmy arrived, and we were finally all together again. It was a blissful experience.
Not just blissful, but a new start. After spending so much time in prison over so many years, it was a chance to be normal, to be a family.
Both of us were incredibly excited to start talking to our daughter after all those years. We got to know her by learning what she liked, what she didn't, and how to be around her. It was a remarkable time in my life.
And a remarkable time in the country in general, as the military continued a series of reforms after decades in power, holding parliamentary elections and instituting other reforms that attracted foreign investment and helped improve people's lives. Aung San Suu Kyi's National League for Democracy won a landslide election victory in 2015, and while the military still wielded significant power, it coexisted uneasily with Suu Kyi's elected government. Then, in November 2020, the NLD won another landslide victory, and the military decided it had had enough.
Overnight, Myanmar's military has seized control of the country.
On February 1st, 2021, hours before the new parliament was set to convene, Myanmar's military formally seized power, detaining Suu Kyi and many other senior politicians on bogus charges claiming election fraud. She's since been convicted by a military-run court of several different offenses and is now serving a term of more than 30 years in jail. For Nilar Tain, it was a wake-up call and a warning that the life she and her family had been building was now at risk.
When the coup occurred, I called Kojimi and told him to run away. At the time, I was a volunteer at a COVID center. He told me he would come get me, but I told him no, it was too dangerous. I told him not to come because I thought his freedom was more important.
Less than 2 weeks later, arrest warrants were issued by the military for Kojimi and six other prominent activists for inciting unrest through their social media posts urging resistance to the coup. The man who served 15 years in prison for his role in the 1988 uprising against the military was on the run again until his arrest that October.
After his arrest, we didn't have any contact with him, and we had no idea where he was being held. Then, on January 23rd, they announced he's been convicted on terrorism charges and sentenced to death. We saw him that day on state TV. He was very skinny, but his smile and his eyes show us his bravery and his spirit.
In late July, with little fanfare, Kojimi and three others were hanged by the military at Yangon's infamous insane prison, where many democracy activists did time during decades of military rule. Nilar Ten never even got a chance to say goodbye.
We learned officially about his execution only from the state newspapers that announced it. I was devastated, but I reminded myself that I was not alone.
Not alone, she says, because her situation mirrors that of people all over the country. She lives now on the run in the east of the country. Her 15-year-old daughter is in exile for her safety. A daughter Nilar Ten is very, very proud of. One who wrote this essay praising her parents' choices after the coup.
My daughter wrote in the essay, "I don't know what kind of challenge I will face, but I will follow the footsteps of what my dad and my mom did. I will fight for freedom, justice, and democracy."
Nilar Ten is in touch with her daughter infrequently these days because of the danger to both of them. But they are in touch. And her message to her daughter, she says, is simple. Be strong. Michael Sullivan, NPR News, on the Thai-Myanmar border.